Thanks for tuning in to Jet Nation. You are listening to Joe Vinny and the Jets. Be sure to follow us at Jet Nation on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And check out our forums. Jet Nation is your home for uncensored Jets talk. Now, here's your hosts, Joe Blewett and Vinny Blatarocca.
And welcome to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. Vinny, obviously a really good week. You know, the Jets are 3-1 going into the bye week, which at a time when we first saw the schedule, we thought the bye week was, you know, in a really bad position. But now, coming after all these injuries with David Harris getting injured, Leonard Williams, Calvin Pryor, you know, there's a whole bunch of injuries, so that's definitely a good thing. You know, definitely wishing good luck to all those Yankees fans out there, even though I'm not a Yankees fan at all. If anything, I don't like them, but, you know, we still have Jets fans who are Yankees fans, so hopefully they do well tonight, obviously playing that wild card game. Pray for Vinny, pray for the Mets, because I just know next week will be a bad episode if the Mets are losing in the postseason, so pray for them.
Well, I won't be here.
Yeah, no, basically I'm going to have to run a solo show. It might be a half an hour or whatever it is if the Mets start losing. And then shout out to all those London fans, you know, those European fans, the guys like Biff and Richard Tinley, who went over to London and went to that game at Wembley Stadium. You know, their Jets chants was loud. I don't think it's as loud as New York. They definitely had to work on it a little bit. But no, it was awesome. I think it was more of a Jets crowd than a Dolphins crowd. You saw a lot of those Dolphins little banners and things where they handed them out, so they got lucky. But you know, what's up, Ben? Are you excited for the 3-1 in the bye now, or what's up?
Oh yeah, man, life is good. 3-1, got playoff baseballs back. You know, I bought game one and game two tickets at home last week, so I thought the Mets would have home field. Of course, they blew that away. But anyways, hey, I'm just happy having the Mets in the playoffs. But hey, the Jets 3-1 at the bye. You know, the bye is coming at a perfect time, getting, you know, hopefully get everyone healthy by week six at the Skins at home. But you know, life's pretty good, minus this 12-page paper I do at midnight that I have halfway done. life is pretty good right now.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a good game. Obviously, you know, Joe Philbin got fired, and many of us didn't necessarily see that, but we saw it coming in the future. It's surprising after 4 weeks. Like you said with the injuries, you know, Pryor got a knee bruise, which he tweeted out that he'll be back and ready after the bye. Harris had a quad injury, hopefully that he'll be ready. And then you saw Leonard Williams go down too. With an ankle sprain, but hopefully they'll be all ready. You have a lot of injuries with Ivory and Decker, and those are just a whole bunch of guys. You know, Chris Owusu. So this bye definitely comes at a good time, and it's definitely good to be going in it at 3-1. When honestly, most Jets fans and myself included, when you looked at the schedule and you looked at the first four games, I was expecting a 2-2, and you know, not necessarily hopeful for 2-2, but I feel like that would be a good spot, and I feel like that's where they can get. I didn't expect 3-1, and obviously, you know, people are going to say, well, the Browns are bad, but then you see that the Browns definitely got a little bit better from last year. You know, Colts are a little bit off, the Eagles are a little bit off, and, you know, the Dolphins are a little bit off. But when you still look at the schedule, you still got to play on your schedule. Yeah, exactly. When you see the schedule, you still have to play those guys who, you know, are on the schedule. So 3-1, whether it be against the Browns or the Colts or whoever it may be, we're still 3-1. But Vinny, let's start out with the three stars of the game. You know, there's a lot to talk about with this game. The Jets definitely dominated. The defense was pretty much, you know, unstoppable the entire game, getting pressure, you know, getting picks. You saw Marcus Williams get a pick, Revis get a pick. You know, other than penalties, you know, they might have caught that shutout that you predicted last week. But, you know, let's start out with your three stars of the game for tonight, Vinny.
Yeah, I mean, you know, hey, I thought the shutout was going to happen, but hey, we'll take the W. But my three stars, hey, I'm gonna give obviously the beast Ivory, Mo Wilkerson, and Brian Winters, who had a great game there on the offensive line,
nice.
Stepped in for Cologne. Obviously, Chris Ivory, career high 166 yards. What a beast! You know, night and day at that offense compared to the Eagles game where Fitzpatrick threw the ball 58 times. What did he do this game? He cut that in half. Threw it 29 times, ran the ball 43 times with Ivory leading away, rushing, you know, total team rushing over 200 yards. Mo Wilkerson, two sacks, playing at an elite level right now. And that defense line is only going to get better with obviously Sheldon Richardson coming back. And then Brian Winters, who stepped in for an injury clone, didn't really know what to expect from Brian Winters, who had a shaky preseason, obviously did not win the starting job. But he played really well. There was a few runs where he just dominated Dominican Sue, who he was going up against, you know, a lot of, in the majority of this game. He really did a great job against Sue, holding him down to no sacks, and then, you know, paving the way for a great day for that run game. An all-around great effort by the offensive line. You know, they really dominated this game. This is how the Jets are going to win games, when they just dominate on the offensive line, controlling the ball for over, I think they had 37 minutes of possession. And hey, that's how this team is going to win the game. You know, you have the game manager in Ryan Fitzpatrick. When you have Chris Ivory at 100%, which he was close to 100%, he probably wasn't even at probably not even at 90%. But you can see how much of a beast this guy is. When you give him the ball, you know, plus 20 times, when you run the ball 29 times, you're going to get over 100 yards every time, 166 yards. He just looked unstoppable at times, taking 3, 4, 5 Dolphins again down to the ground. Then Mo Wilkerson, you know, that he had 2 sacks. Just an animal. And, I mean, we're going to say this over and over throughout the whole season. The Jets are going to have to pay this guy. There's not a chance in the world you let this guy go, even franchise tag and whatever you got to do. You got to pay this man. The 3 stars of the game. I think Brian Winters might get my number 1 star. I would probably Ivory, but then I would give it to Brian Winters. Guy, phenomenal game. I know he had at least 1 penalty on a false start, but he played 1 hell of a game for a start. And then coming against the Dominican Sioux.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you about Winters really quick before I get into my 3 stars. And you know, obviously it's 1 game and it could be a flash in the pan. The last 3 games he played last year before he got injured, he actually had 13 quarterback hurries allowed. He was left guard last year. Now he's moving to right guard. Do you think that the move to right guard, you know, could potentially help him, or is it the scheme, or is it the extra, you know, an extra year in the NFL? You know, what do you think contributed to that game? Obviously, it's one. It's 1 game. But let's say this play continues, because there's a guy across from him who we all know, Ndamukong Suh, is one of the best D tackles, you know, in the world, in the NFL, probably the best. And he pretty much shut him down. Obviously, there's a lot of plays where he's, you know, getting doubled, and there's combo blocks where Mangold was hitting him at first and things like that. But when you look at Brian Winters, you know, before the game, and we got cut off last week, sorry everybody, but we were talking a little bit more about it, but you see Ndamukong Suh mainly going to be lined up over Brian Winters. You're like, you know, crap, Sue's going to have a couple sacks this game, or we're going to get blown up in the run game. Winters comes out, and he probably has his best game of his professional career. So, you know, do you think that he could potentially take over that right guard spot, or what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's not a better guy to learn from than Willie Colon. Not because Willie Colon is a beast, but Willie Colon. And when you think of Willie Colon, you think of his toughness first off, something Brian Winters, he may have, but he hasn't shown on the field quite yet. And then you just got experience. You know, you can't ask for more than experience in the NFL, especially at the right guard position, where Willie Colon has played, you know, I think it was 9th, 10th, 11th year, whatever it is. He's been in the league for a long time. So, you know, hey, Willie Colon, he's on a 1-year deal. He's battled injuries his whole career. You know, obviously, that's why Brian Winters got the start. But if Brian Winters plays like this, you never know. You might get another spot start. If Willie Colon goes down in the season, hey, it's a long season. Still have 12 games left. They don't even know if Willie Colon is going to be back, you know, for week 6. So say he isn't, and if Brian Winters plays like this, hey, you know, this can be the same situation like the quarterback position. When Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, it's his job now. You know, maybe I'm not sure if that's the case with Brian Winters, but hey, man, you get your first start of the season and you shut down the Dominican Sioux. That's pretty awesome to do in your first start of the year. So, I mean, I would say right now, if Willie Colon is back healthy, I think he gets back his starting job. He played so well his first 3 games, and he's a veteran, you know, and he's that mental toughness and that physical toughness on the offense. Not mental, because the guy loses his head sometimes with those penalties. Yeah. But he's a guy who's one of the leaders on the offensive line and on this team. Brian Winters, you couldn't expect anything more. Your top holes in the Jets right now.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily saying that he's going to be the right guard for the season, but it's definitely nice to see a flash in a pan like that. Hopefully it's not a flash in a pan. Hopefully he keeps playing like this for the rest of the season, because we were all questioning before the season, you know, why – or not before the season, but when they cut Odey Egbuchi, you know, why cut him instead of a guy like Brian Winters, who played terribly last year.
Winters comes out and
he has this game, so – Yeah, no. Yeah, of course. My boy, not your boy. You blame everything on me. It's okay. I agree with you with Wilkerson. You know, Wilkerson, I think this is the best, you know, stretch of games, at least these four games that he's looked since 2013. Last year, he looked good, but I don't think he looked like he did it when Sheldon first came in.
He
was absolutely dominant. Yeah, last year he showed a couple things, but I think he was better in 2013, and he's starting to look like a 2013 Wilkerson, I think, right now. I'm not sure, I forget, but he's on pace for like 13.5 sacks, so hopefully that continues. I don't know if we're necessarily going to pay him, because we've talked about the situation many, many times, and I don't have to repeat myself, you know, yet again. But we'll see what happens with that, and I'm not going to say I would be mad if they did pay him, because, you know, everybody knows by now that he's one of our favorite Jets. So I definitely agree with you with Winters. I didn't have Wilkerson in my, you know, top three, because I felt I was feeling nice. I was going to give it to somebody else, but Ivory, right. I definitely agree. You see him, you know, 29 carries, 166 yards, which is his best game. 91 yards after contact, which is the most by any player this year. You know, just cementing his status into, you know, the beast that he is. And then you saw him that one play. I know you saw him that one play where he just bounced off of Sue. You know, Sue didn't look like he wanted to tackle him. He basically hit him in the chest and just spun outside of him. Sue, who's getting paid that $119 million, who's looking like Albert Haynesworth now. But he definitely, you know, had a freaking great day. You know, Ivory's just been proving it. I think he's third in rushing right now behind Adrian Peterson. And I forget who the other guy is, but he's third in the league right now, and he hasn't played all four games. Like, he's just he's at a crazy pace right now. And my third star, I'll give it to, you know, I'm not going to put him in any order, but I'm actually going to give it to a guy who just signed with the team this year. I'm going to give it to Deion Bailey. Yep. You know, I don't think he was the third best player on the field, but for that guy to come in, fly from Seattle to New York, have like 2 or 3 days of practice, you know, from flying to New York to London to back to New Jersey. And then that drive, Vinny, which I know you remember, because my heart almost stopped. I believe you were watching with your dad. But where the Dolphins, it was 14-27. Yeah, 14-27, and you know, the Dolphins have three plays. You know, the Jets stop them. Deion Bailey made a couple nice plays. I think he got two tackles in a row, and then he even forced Jordan Cameron out of bounds. That was nice. And then, of course, you know, they get a penalty where Buster's screen gets, I believe, a holding, and then they get back on the field. I almost literally had a heart attack. That was pretty much, you know, the end of the game there. So, you know, what do you think about Deion Bailey's play this week?
Yeah. I think he played 31 snaps. This is a guy who, you know, was, like you just said, came from Seattle to New Jersey, then flew out there to London with the team to play. That guy was bouncing all around. He played 31 plays. He played a great game, especially when Pryor went down late. He came in and stepped up really big, you know, going against Jordan Cameron, which I don't know how tall Jordan Cameron is, but he's at least 6 inches on him. If I had to guess, at least 6 to 7 to 8 inches taller than Deion Bailey, who's a small guy. And he had back to back really great defensive plays on Jordan Cameron. I think he was up against Greg Jennings one play. I may be wrong on that one, but I know he had back-to-back plays where they targeted a new guy, and rightfully so. You know, guy who just signed with the team and going up against their tight end and one of their starting receivers, and he played really well. I know the Jets just tweeted out a thing on him a little while ago about, you know, of all the traveling he just did. But this is a guy who was, you know, he went to USC, played really well in college, obviously made it to the pros with Seattle, but he just got cut. You know, this is a nice little pickup for the Jets. You know, thank God Pryor's injury isn't that serious. So, but hey, Deion Bailey stepped in, played one hell of a game. That defense is just, you know, these last few, basically the whole season, minus that first half, has just played extremely well.
Yeah, no, and Nick, our producer, is actually texting me right now. He told me that Matt Forte is the one who's second, which is awesome, because I have him on my fantasy team, so I just traded for him, you know, stole a trade there. Joey the Bandit. So he definitely got me some, you know, good production those last couple of weeks. And, you know, Ivory, since you were throwing out stats about Ivory, you know, second in the NFL in yards after first contact, 3.7 yards after first contact, which is amazing. And he's on pace for, what, 1,200-something yards, 12 touchdowns. I believe he's second in the NFL with missed tackles, which is 16 forced missed tackles, which, again, beast. Third in rushing, like I said, and he's a one game missed. So maybe if he played all those games, then he wouldn't be number three, and he'd be number one. So Ivory is just an absolute animal. But something you know we're going to talk about, Vinny, is the wide receivers. So let's talk about Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker. You know, how do you feel they played during this game? Because I think they were definitely a bright spot.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm going to start with Decker. You know, obviously he was banged up, but he had, what, four catches and a touchdown. And that one-handed catch was phenomenal. That left, he just stabbed that one out of midair, which I think there was like four or five Dolphins around him, and he just took his arm out. That was I think I was on third down as well. So that was a huge catch, and obviously the touchdown. He was banged up. You can see him getting tackled and like gingerly walking up the field. Just to see him, you know, step up and play was something, you know, something he needed to do. And you know, he helped his team out with a huge win, because with Brandon Marshall, you know what you're going to get out of Brandon Marshall. The guy's just an absolute beast. You know, another 100-yard game. I think it's the first time since 1988. One of the all-time great Jets. He had the first time a Jet receiver has had three straight 100-yard games. Brandon Marshall, I mean, when the Jets first traded for him, I thought hey, this guy's going to be good, you know, hovering around that 1,000 yards, you know, for the year. I did not expect this out of him, I'm going to be honest. I did not expect this guy to just come out and just flat-out dominate. He's just going out there making third-down catches, making all the catches, you know, in the books. He's a top five receiver. He's playing at an elite level. He's playing at a top five receiver right now. That first play of the game, or first play in offense for the Jets, when he just went out there and just beast moded Brent Grimes on that ball, was something we're just not used to. So to see him, to have a number one, legitimate number one wide receiver, is something the Jets have missed, you know, for a decade now. To have that with Eric Decker is something just. Yeah, I'm just ecstatic about it, because these are two guys who can just go out there and just dominate whoever's guarding them, and that's what they did. Even when Decker was banged up, and even when Brandon Marshall was getting double teamed, he still went out and put up 128 yards. So hey, bye week is coming at a great time. Decker, you know, with the sprained knee, if he can just get that healthy for week six, week seven, especially when we head to New England,
yeah.
This could potentially be the best two receiver duo in NFL by year's end.
Oh yeah, right now through the first four games, I think you could definitely argue that. And you know, you brought that stat, third straight week, Brandon Marshall with 100+ yards, which is, like you said, since Al Toon, which is just absurd. I think he's like fifth right now in receiving in the whole entire NFL. And with Decker, you know, you obviously see that he was hurt that game. Four receptions, 46 yards, a touchdown, which Eric Decker, now that every game he's played in, he has a touchdown. Mm-hmm. So you could feel his presence. Maybe it's not in the yards. But like a lot of us said, in the red zone, Brandon Marshall is going to attack. He's going to attract a lot of attention, and Decker is just hitting those posts where he's getting touchdowns.
That's
definitely
route.
Nice.
He's such a good, he loves that
and,
post route.
Yeah, and hopefully, like you said, he is healthy. You know, after the bye week, because we don't want that hamstring injury to linger like it did last year. And you saw the impact he made, even if it's 46 yards and a touchdown. But Brandon Marshall wasn't getting. Necessarily triple teamed every time. There are some times where he's getting double, triple teamed, but it wasn't like as bad as the Eagles game. So you see the impact that Decker makes, and gives him another, Fitzpatrick another weapon to throw to. So I think the receivers played very, very, very well. Really excited for Brandon Marshall. He's been more than we expected. I don't think any Jets fan could say that we expected exactly this out of Brandon Marshall. Maybe that we were hopeful for it, mm-hmm. and we thought he could do it, but nobody could say that definitely he was doing this, because he has been a savage, and I love it. Now, something else good I thought about the game, I have to ask you too, is the offensive line really, really played well. You know, obviously the Miami Dolphins just fired their head coach. Sue and Wake and Vernon, you know, they haven't produced like they should, because you look at the talent they have. They didn't have a sack last week. I think they only have one all season. But even the running lanes, Chris Ivory had a whole bunch of them. Carpenter played very, very, very well. Obviously, we said Winters was, one of the best players on that line too, and one of the best players on that team that game. So that was definitely, a good thing. Ferguson played a little bit better than he has in games past. He didn't get destroyed like he usually does. So I think that's a positive. And going from the offensive line to the defensive line, like we've been saying, the defensive line. You know, and we're gonna talk about it later. But to add Sheldon Richardson to this defense, Vinny. I don't know if you can hear the smile on my face right now, but that's going to be absolutely absurd. You have Wilkerson, who's playing, at the best that he's played. Maybe not the best, but he's right up there with, I think he's the second best, like we said a couple of years ago, the second best 3-4 defensive end in the league. He's playing like that. There's nobody above him other than J.J. Watt. And even right now, Wilkerson's up there, and he clearly wants that dough. So, you know, you have Wilkerson, you have Leonard Williams, who I think had like four QB hurries that game. Mm-hmm. And even though he only has half a sack and he's not lighting up the stat sheets, every single game he's leading in the QB hurries and things like that. He's not finishing the play where he gets the quarterback because they're throwing the ball. But you definitely feel Leonard Williams' impact, and he is going to be an absolute beast. You know, there's people right now who are casual football fans who are looking at Leonard Williams and ranking him, you know, with the other rookies and putting him, you know, 15 to 20 range. But I'm telling you, in a year or two, once he learns from Sheldon and all these guys, Leonard Williams is going to be an absolute beast. If you actually go back and watch the film, this guy is going to be great. So, you know, what did you think about both of the lines there, Vinny?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, offensive line played extremely well, you know, led by Winters, Mangold. Carpenter had it a few times where he just put people on their rear ends. Yeah, you know, it's all right. You know, there might be some little kids listening who never heard the A word before. But hey, man, when you go up against a team featured Sue, Cameron Wake, Olivia Vernon, and hold them to zero sacks, that's you're doing something right. And this Jets offensive line, they didn't give up two sacks this whole season, and that's awesome. You go up against the Browns team with a good D-line. You go up against the Miami Dolphins who have, you know, coming into the season, that you can argue they have the best line in football. So, I mean, to shut them down, it's been phenomenal to see this offensive line, especially when you have Chris Ivory back there. It's just that when they got all the pieces moving in the right direction, this offensive line is playing. We were expecting, hey, middle of the pack, you know, maybe around the 20 range for this offensive line. They're playing at a top 10 level right now. So that's something that's varying. I think right now, through the first quarter of the season, I think you can argue that they're playing at, you know, a top 10 range, because you look at Chris Ivory averaging over 100 yards per game. You look at the sacks total. They only get up two sacks this whole season. Those two in itself has been pretty awesome to see. Then this defensive line, man, When we're there week six when they play the Redskins, I don't even know what to expect. It's gonna be awesome because it's
dead.
Oh god, it's gonna be insane. Because like you said, Leonard Williams only a half a sack, but he's getting in there and he's getting double teamed a lot of times. What's gonna happen when you have Sheldon Richardson, when you have Damon Harrison, you have Mo Wilkerson all going in there? How many people are gonna double team? Are you gonna put 10 people on the box? Are you just going to do a QB sneak? I mean, what are you going to do? Because these guys are just going to flat-out play. I mean, hey, I know it's gonna take some time, hopefully not too long, for Sheldon Richardson to get back into his flow. But, man, it's on paper, this defensive line, at the way Snacks is playing, at the way Mo Wilkerson's playing, at the way Leonard Williams is playing, this defensive line can take this defense to an extreme elite level. You look at this, at the way the cornerbacks and the defensive backs have been playing the first four games. When you factor in arguably, you know, the second best player on the team in Sheldon Richardson, this defense can absolutely explosive. Because, especially at three wins, first four games, that's huge to be. You know, we were saying, like you said, we were thinking 2-2 at the bye. Hey, we'll take 2-2. 3-1 will be ecstatic. And we're 3-1, and we are fired up, because when you look at, you know, the bye is coming at a perfect time, just absolute perfect time to get both the lines healthy, to hopefully get our linebackers and safeties healthy, and factor in Sheldon Richardson. I mean, you got to be kidding me. 3-1. Got the Redskins at home. And I know last show you said, hey, you were a little disappointed in the Jet fans. I can tell you what, if the Jet fans aren't fired up in week six at home against the Redskins, then I don't know what's going to get you fired up, because this team can be something special. 3-1 for the first time since 2010, which happened to be the last time we made the playoffs. This year can be something special. Hey, first four games, don't want to get too ahead of myself, but this is, how can't you smile if you're a Jets fan right now?
Yeah, I think we're like number two. Oh, no, actually we're number three in total defense. We're the number one in, you know, total points scored against us.
Yeah.
So the Jets defense right now is absurd. And to add, like you said, arguably, you know, the second, third best player on our team, our defense, you know, argue Wilkerson, argue guys like Mangold or, you know, Marshall, who's better, whatever. But he's still top three player on this defense right now. And to add him, and you're going to have sets where – which I'm going to be very interested to see next game how Todd Bowles works in Sheldon, Leonard Williams, Wilkerson, and Snacks on the field at the same time, because obviously, you know, you can say you want Leonard Williams to come off the bench, but there's going to be a lot of times where you want all four of those guys on the field at the same time because they're just so damn good. So, you know, maybe it's shifting, you know, Snacks more as a nose tackle and then doing some crazy formations, which we know Todd Bowles can do. We'll see what he does, because I don't think really Snacks can play a, you know, a D tackle in a 4-3 defense, because he's big, but we'll see. We'll see what they do. I'm really, really excited for that. Offensive line, I definitely agree with you. I don't necessarily know if they're top 10. I think, you know, maybe close, maybe top 15.
Oh, yeah, I'd say hovering around the top 10.
Which is fine, because you have Chris Ivory, who's the boss, and we love him. And, you know, and you have receivers, and you have Fitzpatrick, who, which might skew the numbers a little bit, because Fitzpatrick gets rid of the ball one of the quickest in the NFL, and Chan Gailey's offense. So, you know, there's a lot of drops where it's a three-step drop, and he just throws it to Marshall or Decker. So that might skew a little bit, because we're definitely getting the ball out a lot faster than we did last year. And that was a problem last year, where Geno Smith held the ball one of the longest in the NFL. I believe he was second longest in the NFL. And then everybody looks at the sacks, and, you know, who do you blame it on? Do you blame it on Geno? Do you blame it on the offensive line? So I think the offensive line is a little bit better last year than people give him credit for, because Geno just held onto the ball for so long. But, no, definitely a good point. The offensive line is playing well. Obviously, this defensive line, absolutely absurd. And, you know, I would argue that Buffalo is maybe number one, or the Jets are maybe number one. But I think when Sheldon comes back and we get clicking, we'll be number one. You see Buffalo, and I hate to talk about Rex Ryan, but with all the penalties, they have like 47 penalties in four games, which is like the most since 2005 in the first 4 weeks of the season, something like that. So, you know, Bills fans, I told you so. I think you're going to just keep going down from there. We'll see. But, you know, enough about Rex Ryan. Let's bring on our weekly caller here, in Josh, who's going to obviously talk about us in some Jets football. I'm going to just pull him up here. And, Josh, can you hear us, man?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you. What's up? How you doing?
What's up, man? How you doing? Thanks for calling us.
Yeah, it's a great day to be a Jets fan.
Josh, big, you're now 3-0, and you're now you are 3-0 in predictions now. Your prediction every week is calling the Jets win.
I know.
There's no prediction this week, because unless you're going to predict a win at the bye, which I'll take, there's no prediction. But thank you for calling in again, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I know. I just want to touch on something. I told you Tannehill didn't look like he's not worth that big contract that he had, right?
Mm-hmm. You're right.
He was running for his life, and I can't wait till we add our superstar back into the lineup. So it was a big game. I'm happy that we won that. Going into the bye, I can see him getting that in Leonard some plays. I can also see a little battle between Geno Smith and Fitzpatrick. Yes, I'm comfortable, but everybody knows that Chris Ivory actually led the charge. The most underrated player from last year or a couple of years ago just showed everybody that I'm a workhorse, and even Fitzpatrick could look good while I'm running the ball. That was a good run by him. They made Madonna Sue look like he's not worth every penny he's getting, and it was just a good game. I didn't like how Madonna Sue kicked him in the head.
The league came out and that was ruled unintentional. I saw that replay a couple times where it looked like he was tripping, but then he kind of swung his leg, which I don't think you swing your leg like that if you were to land on your foot regularly. But yeah, go ahead, Josh.
Had to hurt.
Yeah.
I know. I'm just saying, like I could see big things happening in this next game. I can actually, I can't really do a prediction, but I could say that we done work on running that ball. They do have a good rushing defense, and how to work with Ivory and whoever will be quarterback if the battle go well. I would like to see Geno Smith in that offense, but Fitzpatrick, you know, with Chris Ivory, he can actually manage and a wild card elite. So I would like
to see,
you know,
You'd like to see Geno? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I would like to see Geno in this offense. I really would. But Fitzpatrick, he could manage. I like how he managed. Like, the Redskins, Fitzpatrick done teared him up with his short pass. He proved it, like, to me, I feel like he just proved that once, the first play of the game, that bomb to Marshall. I love every dime of that play. But I need to see more of that. I want to see, can he actually help us win big games? I called in about Reeves. The defense, Fitzpatrick never had a defense like this. I can see Fitzpatrick taking us to the wild card playoff. If our defense keep on having these turnovers, interceptions, sacks, holding them to third and fourth downs, Fitzpatrick got any quarterback, well, I'm not going to say any quarterback, but quarterback that could manage the game to have a field day.
So are you saying that would you pull the change right now? Would you put Geno Smith back in the starting lineup right now?
I say just let them play it out in practice. You have a bye week. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like you didn't see like pretty much who could throw the deep route, who's making the mistakes, who's not making mistakes, and actually let them play out. Yes, you want them to rest.
Yeah.
You gotta let them rest. But then again, you know, like don't give Geno Smith most of the snaps. You get what I'm saying? Like, let's see, can he play his cards right? Let's see, can he actually short-term beat up Fitzpatrick? Let's see, can he do that money ball? And let's see, can he not stare down his receivers? Which I believe that his old coach made him stare down his receivers. Those quick, stinky passes, like hot routes. You feel me? Like, let's see, can he actually grab a Fitzpatrick mindset and, like, exert the field? But then again, he could be that running person. Fitzpatrick, once again, I feel like right now he still could take us, but what about next year and the following year? This guy is still the limit for Geno. I'm just saying, like, you don't pull the plug now, or you just going to see what he got.
Yeah, Vinny, go ahead.
Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, sorry. No, Vinny, go ahead on Fitzpatrick because you're the Fitzy guy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you know, after watching that game, I feel like this is the ceiling right now with Fitzpatrick. This is what you're going to get. You're going to get, you know, his best games are going to be where he completes the ball 60% of the time. He has two touchdowns and an interception or two. That's what you're going to get out of Fitzpatrick, guy who's going to, if he plays the full year, you're going to have that quarterback rating about, you know, 80%. I mean, you know, around 80, 81, whatever, you know, whatever mediocre is in NFL these days. That's what you're going to get out of Ryan Fitzpatrick. So I tend to agree with you, Josh, because, I mean, we still do not know where we're going to get out of Geno Smith. Geno Smith never had this passing attack. He never had this defense. So if you give Geno Smith a chance, I think he can have days where he shines, but, I mean, right now, it's just going to be hard to take out a quarterback who's 3-1 right now, especially, you know, of everything that happened this all offseason, to have Ryan Fitzpatrick come in and be 3-1 at the bye. I mean, what else? If he gets yanked, I mean, you got to feel pretty bad if you're Ryan Fitzpatrick, because what else could you have, you know, what more could you have done to be 3-1 at this point? You know, Geno Smith's still young. Yeah, I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick is, what, 32, 33. This is what you're going to get out of him. There is really no ceiling for Ryan Fitzpatrick as compared to Geno Smith. So, you know, I like what you're saying. You know, let them compete in practice. But Geno Smith is going to have to play out of his mind in practice in order for him, you know, to be a starter anytime soon.
There's no way. And at one time, I would love where if I was like a wizard or something, I could do parallel universes where I could see them both playing this offense and what Geno would do. But like you said, Vinny, when the Jets are 3-1 and they're playing as well as they are, you can't pull Fitzpatrick.
Can't
who
pull
did,
the
you
leader,
miss,
you know?
Yeah, he pulled. Well, I mean, he missed a lot of throws last game, which even the Brandon Marshall throw, he could have let him more. The Devin Smith pick, it was basically just a lollipop in the air, even though it was a questionable call. I think people are overreacting a little bit. People are saying that the cornerback destroyed Smith where he pushed him, but he barely tapped him. It would have been a soft call anyway. It was just a bad throw. So what are you going to do about it? But Fitz has been up and down. You know, what, 7 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. But he's doing good things, like you see. I believe he has 3 touchdown drives right before halftime. So he's doing well. But Josh, before you go, though, I want to ask you. You know, with Sheldon Richardson coming back, is this the best defense in the NFL?
Yes, I'm saying that for numbers of reasons. For one, you have another dominant a person on the line that could get to the quarterback. And now, who are you done double team? Plus, you draw out and let Ty Bowles be Ty Bowles. I could see Leonard Williams playing some type of like hybrid linebacker just to toss all of them in at once at times. And quarterbacks are just going to be fearing for their life. And I could see that coming in. And we see what we got out of Leonard. You feel me? We see what we got out of him as an update. We know this guy's a limit for him. Now to bring a superstar back in and make defense worry about, wow, it's chess now. Who we done to double team? Who we done to block out? And it's just going to be pick city or sack. Choose your poison.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. I think there's going to be a lot of times where Todd Bowles works them all into the field, like you said. Like you see Rex Ryan up in Buffalo, who is making Kyle Williams a middle linebacker and outside linebacker at times. There's going to be ways to that Todd Bowles gets all four of these guys on the field at the same time, because you look at their talent compared to the guys behind them. Even though Doosable's good and even like a Malden's good, but if you can find a way to get these four guys on the field together, how are you going to run or pass the ball? I just don't get it. So I think this defense by the end of the year definitely could be number one, and we are super, super pumped for Sheldon Richardson to come back. Obviously, we're all a little bit mad at him for what he did, but he's back now. If he comes back, I think he's going to take out some of his anger on Kirk Cousins, and hopefully that's what he does. But, Josh, we definitely appreciate the call, and hopefully you call back in next week for – your prediction, which I feel like is going to be a Jets win, but we'll hold that for the future. I mean, we definitely appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Oh yeah, don't worry. I got a great prediction. I try to be my little analyst myself, and I can smell a Jets win.
Ooh, you can smell
it.
Awesome, man. We're looking forward to talking to you next week.
Yeah. All right, catch you later.
Later, bud. Thanks, man. All right. Big thanks go out to Josh. He's a weekly caller. We definitely appreciate him always jumping on with us. So that's awesome. But, we have some other things to talk about. And, talking about the defense and how Todd Bowles blitzes and things, I just want to ask you about that. You see the Jets last game blitzed a defensive back 22 times in the game, which is the most in 5 seasons of any team, which is just absurd. It was Buster Screen who I believe
Buster,
blitzed. I watched the game, it was three
Buster,
times in a row where he just blitzed them. It was basically the same play, and two of those plays were deflections. So, Todd Bowles' defense has been very, very good. And then even Justin Blitz's in general, you see Todd Bowles blitz Tannehill on 35 of 48 dropbacks, which is 73%, which is the highest blitz percentage of the year. So, we heard that when we hired him back in February that, Todd Bowles in a blitz. He blitzed, I think like 51% of the time last year, and we're getting that and more now, because in Arizona, he had Patrick Peterson, but when you have Revis and you have these defensive linemen and things, I think you mix it up a lot. So I think he's just setting the blitz because he knows that his corners are going to, lock down their guys, even though, he has Cromartie, which is a common denominator, but then again, he didn't have a Buster Screen back there in Arizona. So his defense is absurd right now. You look at the numbers right now, defensive rankings, total number 3, run were 12th. And obviously you look at these numbers and you take them with a grain of salt, because there's certain ways of ranking them that I don't really agree with. You look at things like points scored, where we're number 1 in the NFL. You look at scoring defense, we're number 1. You look at takeaways, we're number 1. Against the pass, we're number 2. And an interesting stat that I saw the other day, I forgot who posted on Twitter, but the Jets all season, Vinny, this year have allowed 14 points in the second half of every single game. So 4 games, 14 points. So that's what, 8 quarters, only 14 points. Like, the Jets are just at an absurd pace right now. And if they keep
pretty good,
especially especially adding a guy in Sheldon Richardson, who, in my opinion, is the second best player on this defense. I think he's not as good as Revis, but he's better than a little bit better than Wilkerson. Maybe not as Wilkerson's playing now, and we'll see how Sheldon, you know, comes back, if he comes back in shape and ready to play, and how he is in Bulls' defense. But he'll find a way to use him. I think Sheldon will be back to his Pro Bowl form. But, you know, overall, just, you know, what do you think about this defense so far, man?
Well, yeah, I mean, it felt like every play last game that you can tell that they're going to blitz. Every time it was Buster Screen coming off the edge. And they were blitzing six, you know, seven guys. Now when you pencil back Sheldon Richardson into this game, you know, into this defense,
yeah.
When they have those four linemen and you blitz, say you just blitz Buster Screen, say you have five guys going in, it's going to feel like you're going to have seven guys, eight guys, because that's how big and fast these guys are. You know, I don't think anyone on that defensive line is as fast as Sheldon Richardson, and it's going to show when he's rushing into the quarterback. But this defense, man, when you have Revis, when you have Cromartie, when you have Gilchrist who can cover, and Pryor all back there.
Yeah,
Gilchrist
too. Sorry to interrupt you, Vinny, but Gilchrist too. I don't know what you think about him.
Killing it.
But coming to this year, I was thinking that he was one of the signings that was going to disappoint people a little bit. But so far, I've been 100% wrong. I'm not necessarily saying he was going to be bad, but Gilchrist has been a beast this year. He's really locked some people down. You haven't heard his name a lot, but that's a good thing right now. So,
We coming into this season, we really didn't hear much about Screen. We didn't really hear much about Gilchrist, especially because Gilchrist had that, you know, undisclosed shoulder injury that we didn't hear about. You know, basically, I mean, still haven't heard about it, really. So, I mean, there was a lot of indecisiveness about these defensive backs that we just signed. So, I mean, Buster Screen, this guy's just playing out of his mind. You know, same with Gilchrist. Yeah. But, again, when you just have those four guys, you can have Screen and coverage. When you have those four guys, you know, I don't think you're going to have to blitz that much because that's how good those guys are. And I was talking about this before, about Quinn Coples. They only played 15 plays last game. And Quinn Coples hasn't done anything this season. I think he only has six tackles. I think he has one tackle for loss in the fumble recovery. But he hasn't played, you know, up to his first round level at all this year. And I think his play time is just going to go, you know, lower and lower, especially with Sheldon Richardson coming back. And to the point where there really isn't any room for him, because when you factor in Leonard Williams and all these defensive linemen, and when you have a Buster Screen, how effective he is on the blitz, this defense, man, it can just be so lethal when you only have five guys, and sometimes only four guys, you know, rushing the quarterback, and have seven guys in coverage. I mean, you got to be kidding me with that. You know, I can't wait to see, you know, hopefully it just takes one game, you know, game or so to get Sheldon Richardson back in the flow, because I want to see what this team can do when we go against an elite defense, an elite quarterback, which we do in week six against Tom Brady. But for right now, this defense is playing, you know, out of their mind. Like you said, Gilchrist, man, this guy, he's all around the field. Him and Pryor, what a year it makes for Pryor. I mean, that's just unreal. When he went down with that knee injury, I was you talk about a near heart attack. Thank God he only bruised his knee, because that would have been there would be no show tonight. I think we'd both be you know, crying for quite a while, because that's how of an impact Calvin Pryor has made this year. But right now, man, it's just incredible. It's just absolutely incredible of all the pieces. Hey, it's only four games. Hey, it's his first four games in NFL, but Todd Bowles looks like a 10-year veteran coaching this team.
I agree. You know, Calvin Pryor injury definitely scared me, and that's one of the guys I've been thinking about getting his jersey, because I'm just I love big hitting safeties. Obviously, you know, my favorite player ever is Brian Dawkins, so you can see the comparison. Not saying Calvin Pryor is Brian Dawkins, but their play style is the same. Calvin Pryor definitely has played very well. He missed one tackle yesterday on a flat route, and people were saying, "Oh my God, Calvin Pryor still doesn't know how to tackle." And I'm not kidding; it was like a flat route for like 4 yards, and people were freaking out, which is just absurd. Like Jets fans, just like I love you, but at the same time, you just find ways to complain about every single thing. And sometimes it bothers the hell out of me. You're like the brother
that's life,
that I hate
man.
To love at the same time. Yeah, I know. But, you know, and then talking about this defense, you know, you're saying they don't have to blitz, but when they do blitz, you know, you have a guy in Sheldon, Leonard Williams, Snacks, who, let's see if you can get some sacks. You have Wilkerson, you have David Harris, who is an underrated blitzer. You know, I believe the stat is like the last 3 years. He's actually top five out of middle linebackers in sacks, so he's actually an underrated blitzer, and you saw him get a sack last game. So you have him coming at you, and then you have a guy in Pryor who can blitz, who plays almost linebacker at times. You have a guy in Buster who can blitz. So, and even if you don't feel like blitzing, Todd Bowles doesn't feel like blitzing, you have guys in coverage, and if you have all these guys back in coverage, you know, where are you going to throw the ball? And there's a reason why this defense is so high up right now. Yeah, we haven't played New England yet, which is, you know, the Jets are averaging, I believe, like 14 points against them right now. So we'll see what happens with, you know, the Patriots, who are averaging like 39 points a game. That's going to be a very interesting matchup to see if the Jets can hold down Tom Brady. But that's looking way far into the future. But, you know, to keep talking about some of the things in this game, I thought Maldon had a nice game. He had a few pressures. Obviously, he missed that sack on Tannehill. But I think Maldon is going to start to play more. We'll talk a little bit more about Copels later. You know, Pryor, I thought, had another good game. Missed one tackle where he got tackled 4 yards down the field. So don't complain about it. Pryor has been playing extremely well. You know, he's never going to be Ed Reed in coverage, but he does his job in coverage, and he's been doing his job in the box. And I'm really, really happy with Pryor because last year, you know, everybody's coming out saying he's a bust, and I was coming out back at him saying, you know, wait till next year, year two, new defense, talent around him. People are getting on me, so I'm very happy to say, haha, I told you so. It definitely feels nice. And then real quick about the defense too, you know, Jets 13 takeaways this year, Vinny, which matches our total all of last year. If we stay on this pace, which I doubt we will, but if you look at it, you know, 52 takeaways this year, which would be absolutely ridiculous. I don't think we'll quite get there, but you know, just pacing ourselves. I don't think that's really happened because we're not going to have, you know, 5 turnovers a game like we did the first 2 games, which is just absolutely absurd. Another thing nice I noticed about the coaching really quick was Gailey, you know, just having the ability to feed Ivory. You know, last year I feel like if Ivory was having this type of game against the Dolphins, you would see Gailey, Morning Wake, for whatever reason, want to start playing Stacey more or Powell more. And then Ivory, instead of having those 29 carries for that 166 yards, he would have, you know, 15 carries for 100 yards just because Morning Wake at times I thought was, you know, snorting crack on the Gatorade coolers last year, which is a downside to our team. Other than that, though, you know, really, you look at the Dolphins, talking about this defense, 0-12 on third down, 0-4 on fourth down. And I believe if I'm reading the stat right, was the Jets are now in the last 18 third down situations their defense has been in, they've let up zero, third down conversion. So it's just absolutely absurd. You know, I just talked about all the positives, Vinny, but, you know, obviously this is a very good game, but give me some negatives. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about stars. We just talked about 30 minutes of positives, but there's always some negatives. So give me some negatives
in
the game. What do you think needs to be improved?
Oh, well, obviously the number one thing that pops out is the 163 yards and penalties that we had, 14 penalties that we had.
Yep.
Cannot be doing that, obviously. You know, Miami, flat out, they're not a good team. You do this against a New England, you do this against, a good team, you're not going to win giving up 14 penalties. That's the NFL. When you commit that many penalties, when you give that many teams, you know, second and third and fourth chances, you're not going to win no matter how good your defense is. When you keep giving it time after time, the good teams are going to make you pay. So right off the bat, 14 penalties. You cannot be doing that. Then next step would be Ryan Quigley, 29 net average. He's really struggled throughout his whole tenure as a Jet punter. You know, he'll have a game where he's just killing it. Then his game, like he did in Miami, where Jarvis Landry, you see what he was doing against us. Every time he got the ball, he was a threat to score. And then, I mean, Ryan Quigley would just float up lollipops, you know, out there, just have him all day to run it back. So 29 net average, cannot be doing that. The penalties, obviously, 14 penalties or 163 yards.
Nick Folk missed a field goal too, I believe, right?
Yeah, Nick Folk. I'm not really concerned about Nick Folk as much as you are as a second field goal.
Man.
I mean, hey, I know, a 41-yard field goal, again, you've got to be making those against good teams. I mean, there's special teams wasn't that great this game. Nick Folk, I just missed the field goal. Quigley, the penalties. And then – I wouldn't really consider him a bad game for the rookie, Devin Smith, but he was targeted 6 times, only 2 catches. He looked out of sync on a few plays where the ball was thrown. He wasn't even looking at the ball. The interception, I'm not going to say that was his fault at all because, you know, he was running, he got tripped up, you know, inadvertent. But again, you can just tell that he's a rookie. He's he doesn't know the playbook 100% quite yet, it looks like. So once he gets accommodated a little more in this offense, because obviously Ryan Fitzpatrick has faith in him, targeting him 6 times. I think the last game he targeted him, you know, like 9 times. So obviously he's shown something in practice. This is a great time for the bye. Hopefully get everyone on the right page for the last 12 games of the year, because Devin Smith is just, if he can play like we know he can play, this offense can just be something special, man. So, you know, once they get those, but again, the main thing I think is those penalties. You cannot be doing 14 for 163 penalty yards. That's something that's going to come back and bite them against really good teams.
Yeah, no, if you give Tom Brady 7 chances in the red zone, Tom Brady's going to score. I don't care how good your defense is, and we all hate Tom Brady more than we hate anybody, but Tom Brady is not dropping back 7 times and not scoring a touchdown. It just doesn't work like that, especially when you have Gronkowski and a guy in Edelman who's a little shifty receiver who I know Vinny is a actual fan of.
He's a top 10 guy.
I don't believe that, but that's okay. We disagree. But negatives from the game, I definitely agree with you that the special teams, you know, the punt team has to improve. You look at this game where you look at Jarvis Landry, 22 yards per punt return, which is ridiculous because if they're punting, like you said, with Quigley's horrible average, they're punting it to the 40-yard line in Dolphins territory. They bring it back for 22 yards. You know, they're already at the 35-yard line, whatever. Yeah. I'm not trying to do math right now. I'm thinking about other things. But it wasn't good. You saw that one long return by Landry. You see Sproles last week. Quigley has to improve too. There are some times where he booms it, and I think that makes up for his average a little bit, but then there's more times where he just shanks it out of bounds, which he has done a lot. And Vinny, I know you played soccer, so maybe you can go to an open tryout or something. The punting, I'm not trying to blow up Vinny, but he is a good soccer player and he has a boot. So we'll see if we can get him in touch with the Jets somehow. I would love to do that. Quigley, I'm a little bit worried about. I'm not necessarily worried about Folk, but I've said, I don't think he is the Folk hero that everybody thinks he is. I think he's an average NFL kicker. He's accurate sometimes, but he's not booming a kick from, plus 50 yards, and even sometimes he's inaccurate. So I don't understand why people think he's as great as he is. I think if anybody would have that kicker, I forget his name right now, I'm blanking out. Of course, because I'm trying to think about it. But the kicker from Denver who can just destroy a kick from 60 yards really accurately. So, I'll probably get that on Twitter. I'll probably have Nick, our producer, who's a stats guy.
Prater? Who are you thinking of? Prater, McManus? What was the name?
I forget his name. We'll move on. But the penalties, I agree with you, 163 yards, special teams. There was 2 or 3 times where the in a row where the Dolphins started within Jets territory, the 40-yard line. Like you said with Devin Smith, you look at Devin Smith and you look at him, he got injured in the offseason. He wasn't able to gain chemistry with Geno Smith. So then Fitzpatrick comes in, he has absolutely no chemistry with him, you think about it, only from seeing him at practice. But he's never actually caught balls. So hopefully and the bye week, they're working on routes and working on a lot of things together, because the timing's clearly been off where Fitzpatrick is throwing balls where he's not even looking back. And then there's other times, which goes into another, like last week and like the year weeks before with the Colts game. Fitzpatrick was a negative and he was a positive at the same time, because there was a stretch where he had like 5 straight incompletions, Vinny, where he was just missing people wide open. The Brandon Marshall throw, he was like, oh, well, he can throw deep. He threw the ball deep, but that was a terrible throw. If he led Marshall, that probably would have been a touchdown. So that wasn't a great throw. He got it there, but a lot of people can just get it there. Devin Smith, that interception, it was on Fitzpatrick, or it was on Devin Smith, because we were watching that game, obviously, when it fly out to London, but the ball was in the air. It almost seemed like a punt. Like it was like a punt return for the guy who picked it off. Devin Smith got, it might have been pass interference, but for the people who are saying, that's definitely pass interference, you're just kind of being soft along with the refs, or you're just being a homer. Because it wasn't that much of a penalty. It was a little bit. Devin Smith could have, played defense or tried to catch that ball. They definitely need to work on their chemistry. It wasn't too good. But at the same time, like I said with Fitz, he's doing the job. The Jets are 3-1. There's 3 drives in the second, at the end of the first half where you got a touchdown. Against the Colts, I believe he drove it down the field, got a touchdown. against the Dolphins and against the Browns. So we've talked about that before, Vinny, and we've said it on the show that the good quarterbacks, the Tom Brady's, do that. So, you know, getting that touchdown or that field goal.
And they won all those games.
Exactly. So you look at those games where he gets those touchdowns, it's underratedly a huge thing to go into you know, the locker room with the coaches and the players with that confidence. Tom Brady does it all the time, and they win a lot of games. So I'm not comparing Fitzpatrick to Tom Brady, obviously. But that is a huge stat that nobody really thinks about, that he's been doing that, and it's a really, really good thing to give us that momentum. But we're done with the negatives and positives, and we got a question on Twitter, again, from our friend Rich Gonzalez at Rich Jets. He has two-part questions, so I'll ask you the first one, and you talked about it before. With Copels only getting, 15 snaps this game, but he says, do we think that the Copels experiment is over?
Well, Rich, A, thanks for the question. Do I personally think that the Copels experiment is over? I sure hope so, because this guy has just been, just a total, I think it's safe to say that he's been a bust right now, because this is what, fourth year? I don't blame him entirely the first 2 years. Because with Rex, they tried putting that linebacker back to linebacker, they just kept switching that. Hey, who knows? That may have put a massive toll on him, mentally, because this game is, just like any other sports, it's 90% mental, 80%, whatever it is. It's a lot mental, more than it's physical, I think. So
I could go down the street to the park and I can find, not necessarily a whole bunch of them, but I can find some guys who can run, 4-4 who are 6-2 and who can jump. It's all mental.
Yeah.
It's 95% mental, this game. It really is.
And we look at Copels, these first four games, he's been getting those one-on-one coverages, and he's just been able not to do anything. He's just not able to get pressure on the quarterback. He makes the occasional run stuffing play. I know you mentioned a few times. I think he is a better run stuffer than he is a pass rusher. But they got him into rush the passer. That's what his job is this year, and he's just not being able to do that. He has 6 tackles, no sacks. I'm not even sure if he has a quarterback hit. He may have. I don't really know on that, but he doesn't have a sack. Only 6 tackles, 15 plays last game. And with Sheldon Richardson coming back, I really don't think that, Quinn Copels is going to get more than 20 to 30 snaps a game. Malden's back. Thank God he's healthy again. But, if Malden plays like he did last game, which he played, I'm not going to say played great, but he played well. He played, for a rookie, he played well. So I think he's definitely showing some speed, some burst. Unlike Quinn Copels, who just is like a deer in the headlights every time. It takes him so long to see whether it's a run or a pass. On play action, he's just a lost duck. So, I really think a lost duck.
I've never heard that.
He's a lost duck, man. That's what it reminds me of. Because this guy, he's just like looking around. He's just looking around in the air half the time. He doesn't know what's going on.
Is a duck like the most lost thing out of all the animal kingdom?
I was walking home from the school, and there was just a duck in the middle of the street. So, hey, that's a reminder of Quinn. I got a picture. I'll send it to you later, because that's what reminded me of Quinn. So Rich, to answer your question, I don't think it's necessarily quite over yet. Me personally, I would hope it's over. But, again, it's the guy, first-round pick, and we did pick up his option for next year. So, you can't end the experiment quite yet, especially with 12 games left to go in here.
I gotta figure this out some way, Vinny, because I doubt that there's a duck in the middle of the road and you take a picture of it, because we live in New Jersey and it's not like – ducks are infrequent. We don't see ducks all the time.
They're heading south. They're heading south. This guy, I'm like Quinn Copels, doesn't know south or north.
For,
so that's you.
You're saying Quinn Copels is that confused duck still in North Jersey while all other ones are flying south. I got you. I'm going to figure out if that picture is legitimate, and Vinny's going to have to send me a picture of a duck. I don't know necessarily how he can do that, because I know he can just go on Google and look in duck in street, and he can send me a picture from there. But I will figure out if it is legitimate, and I will post it on Twitter for everybody to see Vinny's duck that he's comparing Copels to. But I agree with you in a way. I don't think it's over right now. I think the way he's playing at this moment in time, like you said, with the 6 tackles only, I think he has like 2 quarterback hurries and you know, he did have that should-be sack on Andrew Luck that one game. But when a guy is picked 16th overall, then that's not what he's supposed to do. You know, that's not the numbers he's supposed to have. Last year he had those 6.5 sacks, which is nice. So he's a decent player, but at the same time, I don't think he's a fit in this defense. And I think that factors in a little bit to it because Copels is not a 3-4 outside linebacker. He's not agile enough to be on the outside. I think if you put this guy in a 4-3 defense, I'm not trying to be a Quinn Copels, you know, apologist, but I think if you put him in a 4-3 defense at defensive end, he would be much better than he is right now as a 3-4 outside linebacker because, you know, he's not fast enough as an outside linebacker to get those sacks, and he's not quick enough or he's not fast enough to, you know, cover those receivers. So it's just a mix of, you know, awkwardness in that position, as Vinny would say, a lost duck. But, you know, I think, like I said, if he keeps playing this way, it's done because they pick up his option next year, and I'm telling you right now that the way he's playing, they're not going to pay this guy. It was like $7.6 million next year because it's not what he's worth. I'm not necessarily sure what he's getting paid now. Maybe it's around like $4 million. I would figure somewhere around there, but they're not going to pay him $7.6 million. Maybe if they didn't have a team like they did and they had a whole bunch of cap room, you know, like they were last year, $40 million, you know, it wouldn't hurt too much to add an extra couple million onto the salary cap. But with Revis and all these guys that they're going to have to re-sign, you know, DeMario Davis and whole bunch of dudes. So yeah, he won't be on the team next year if he keeps playing like this. But do I think the experiment is over? No, I don't, because I still think there's talent there. So I think his like Vinny said before, that his snap count does decrease because you have a guy in Sheldon Richardson coming back who Todd Bowles, like I said, and like Vinny said, is going to find a way to use Snacks, Wilk, Sheldon Richardson, and Leonard Williams at the same time. I don't know if I've repeated the name there twice, but you know the four I'm talking about, and so does everybody else who's listening. And then you have Maldon, who, you know, he missed a sack. He hasn't been playing great, but he missed a game. He's a young guy, third-round pick from Louisville, so he's not going to come out and play like a first-round outside linebacker, or, you know, in Quentin Copel's case, he might be. But I think you give Maldon time. I think he'll step up. You see the pressures. You see him getting after the quarterback. I think he gets a little bit anxious when he gets in that, you know, that lane where he can take out the quarterback like he did in that preseason game against the Falcons. Was it against the Falcons? I forget which preseason game it was.
When he missed the tackle?
Where he missed a sack? Yeah, where he missed that sack.
The Lions game.
Okay. So it was a Lions game, and then you see him, you know, come free on Tannehill, or you know, break off a block, and then he missed a sack. So it's okay, but he's getting those pressures. Second part of the question, Vinny, which ties into last week where we were talking about the receivers, where he asked us to rank the receivers. I think we took that the wrong way, where we actually tried to physically rank them, like 3, 4, 5, 6. He actually, you know, just he's asking our feelings. Our opinions of the players outside, you know, Brandon Marshall, who we've already said is a savage, a beast, you know, not a lost duckling. And then you have Decker, who is a consistent, you know, really solid route runner. He's playing the slot position because Chan Gailey feels like guys like Chris Owusu, who hopefully comes back soon healthy, guys like Devin Smith can play the outside, and you in the slot you take advantage of Decker's route running ability. So he's playing very well. Like I said, 3 games, 3 touchdowns. So they're both playing very well. We don't have to talk about them. But the other receivers, we're not going to count Anunua as a receiver because he's really not.
Okay.
He's more of a tight end than a receiver. I know his official position is wide receiver, but if you know football and everybody knows, I think everybody who's listening to the show basically knows that he's more of a flex tight end than a receiver. So let's just go through the receivers. And, you know, rank, you know, how do you feel about Devin Smith and then, you know, Curley, and then Owusu, who is hurt, and you got that scope done.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the last game, it was the three receivers who caught a ball were only Marshall, Decker, and Devin Smith, and the other three guys.
No tight end catches.
You know, Wes Saxton, I think he played 12 plays. He's not going to get his first catch. So we have two catches on the year for Jeff Cumberland, and, you know, so I think with these receivers, I mean, I really thought Jeremy Curley was going to get another chance out there, but he didn't. I think he had, 4 snaps on the offensive side of the ball. I was a little discouraged in that. Then Devin Smith, I mean, if Devin Smith is going to play, I think you got to say he's a third receiver now, especially with no Owusu in the lineup. But, you know, Owusu, before he got hurt, really emerged as that number 3 receiver. So assuming he's healthy – obviously, Marshall is our 1. He's our 1A, and Decker when Decker's healthy, he's right up there. He's our 1B. You know, when these guys are healthy, hopefully for these last 12 games of the year, if Decker is healthy, this is again going to be a lethal 1-2 combo. But then you're going to need supporting cast, especially against good teams. So can Devin Smith step up and be that vertical threat that, you know, we envision him being? If so, this offense is just going to be you know, really explosive at times. Then Owusu, is he going to be that guy on third down? So he's going to make that clutch catch like we're used to Curley being? I mean, there's a lot of, you know, four games through the season, there's still a lot of question marks with this receiving corps, even though Marshall has killed it, even though Decker has been that consistent, you know, guy around the red zone on that post pattern, which he just, you know, has mastered. He has just mastered that post. I feel like every time they're in the 20, you know, the opponent's 20 to 30 yard line, they're gonna give Eric Decker a shot in the middle of the field, because he just finds a way to get open, and him and Fitzpatrick really clicking on all cylinders at this point. But to answer Richard's question right now, I mean it's that number three spot is just a toss up to me, because Devin Smith, he's getting the reps out there in the games, but again, he's gonna need some more time in the practice field. Again, this is why this bye is coming at a great time. I think you have 2 weeks to get Devin Smith accommodated into this offense, because like you said, he was hurt, didn't have a training camp, didn't have a preseason. So this is his, you know, his first action in his NFL career. This guy's again is still a rookie. So then again, Owusu is hurt right now. Once he gets back healthy, this can be a really good receiving corps.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, just to talk about receivers, you know, Devin Smith, obviously he's missed some time. He missed some time in training camp. He missed time with Fitzpatrick. So I don't expect him to come out and look like he did in Ohio State. So he's going to take some time. But like I said, I believe it was last week or the week before that, I think that if you give this kid time, and by the end of the year, he's going to be a weapon for this offense. He's a weapon now because he's fast. But when him and Fitz get on the same page and Fitz starts hitting him on those, you know, those dig routes or those curl routes, or maybe Gailey, you know, sees his route running ability improve and he starts running, you know, drag routes to open him up. And obviously he's a burner, so he could take a 5 yard drag route across the middle and take it, you know, 75 yards for a touchdown, because he's a burner. Ooh. He could do that. He's, you know, from college to NFL, if you run a four one or something like that. Yeah, I think it was a 4.41. So you know that doesn't translate. You don't get slower when you go to the NFL. So I think Devin Smith is going to be a weapon. I think he's going to be, that number two receiver, really the number three option in this offense by the end of the year. I think Chris Owusu is he's a guy who was undrafted. He went to Tampa and he bounced around a couple teams. He was with the Jets. Last year made a couple plays against Miami. Even the preseason, he was hurt a little bit. He comes out the first game, has like four catches, 50 yards. So he shows you his ability. I hope he's healthy soon, because we need a kick returner, because having Zach Stacy out there a couple times, the last couple games, just looked absolutely terrible, because, you know, he's a bowling ball, but he's like a soft bowling ball where he doesn't really bounce off of things. So he just kind of runs into people, and they, you know, he gives them a hard hit, but he doesn't really go anywhere. So hopefully Owusu comes back, he'll be the primary kick returner, and then he's going to be that deep threat, which I'm not sure how they mix in Devin Smith and Owusu, because obviously, you know, you only want one of those guys on the field at the same time, because you're not going to take Decker off the field, you're not going to take Marshall off the field. So we'll see where he fits in, but I think he's definitely going to be the primary kick returner, and hopefully he makes some plays on, as that number three, four, five option as a receiver. We'll see if that actually happens. And then you have Curley, who last week, I believe Vinny said that he was going to start playing more, and he has to, and all this stuff. And then he comes out, and he has four offensive snaps. You know, similar to the first game where he had zero, and then he had like one, and then he had a couple or a lot against Philly, and then he comes out again, four snaps. So, like I said a million times in the past, I think Curley's a good receiver. He's a good slot receiver. He's never going to be a number one or two option. Maybe number one or two that you throw to, but he's never going to be an outside the number kind of receiver, because he's, 5'9". He can run routes. He's not a burner. He's not too shifty. You know, he's just a good slot receiver. But when you have Decker in the slot, who is a better route runner, a better catcher, just as fast, if not faster, I would probably say right around the same speed. Decker's just all around better than Curley. You're not going to take him out of the slot, and you're not going to where Decker can be utilized as his route running. So you're not going to take him out of there. You're not going to take Marshall off the field, because you're not going to compare Brandon Marshall to Curley. And then you want Chan Gailey's offense, and obviously Bowles and Gailey both want a guy on the outside, like a Devin Smith, like an Owusu, who is a burner, and Curley is not that. So Curley's a good receiver, but I don't think he, you know, fits into this offense. I think he plays a couple snaps a game. Let's give him, you know, credit where he has been better as a punt returner this year, actually, Vinny. I think, you know, against the Eagles, he had almost like, I think it's like 11 or 12 average per punt return. And last game, I'm actually not sure what it was. But he was getting a couple punt returns where he was getting, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13 yards.
Yeah, I think he averaged 8 yards.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a lot better this year so far than it's been last year. Because last year, you know, you saw it where he just fair caught the ball. But I feel like this year he has a little bit of fire in his belly because he hasn't been playing. So he's been, you know, he's been a decent punt returner, which has been a little bit of a surprise because I didn't expect that from him this year because he's been just so average to below average, you know, as a punt returner. So that's basically, you know, our feelings on the receivers. But now, Vinny, we're going to, you know, last thing before we jump off here, obviously next week, we have a lot to talk about, but last week, I went 5-0. You also went 5-0 because we both picked the same teams because we both.
Who's in first place? You are, right?
I seriously hate season ties. It's the fourth week. I'm cutting the brakes a little bit there because there's a. I'm not sure if there's a time when Brandon was ahead of me last year, but he's talking some smack and I came out and, you know, handled him pretty well by the end of the year. Andy, all right, we're gonna pick some different games this time because I'm not gonna be tied to you. You're such a trash talker. I hate you. But now we're going to do the picks of the week, like Vinny gloats about, like he's just said. You know, he's 12-3. I'm 11-4. We both went perfect last week, which is nice to do. But there, like last week,
wow.
There's not a lot. All right. No, there's not a lot of. And real quick, Nick, who just played that WoW, I believe, unless Vinny somehow figured out how to get into the computer. He said he texted me like he always does. You know, he's a stat guy. He loves football. If we ever need anything, he always helps us out. You know, goes to Google, or maybe he just knew that McManus was the Denver's kicker. But he texted that to me. So, like I was saying, I'd rather have McManus than a Fulk who is just a, you know, a mid-level superhero, like a Robin or something like that, compared to a McManus who is a Batman. But no, hard knock. I mean, now we're gonna do the picks, Vinny. There's like last week. There's not a lot of games here to really, you know, be drooling over. They're all pretty bad teams playing each other. Obviously, we don't have the Jets this week. So the first game, I had to pick games that I felt like were gonna be close games. You know, you have games where it's like Packers. I forget who the Packers are playing this week, but it's like blowouts, like Packers, Bucks, or stupid stuff like that. They're not playing the Bucks because the first game we are doing Jaguars at Buccaneers, 1-3 versus 1-3. It should be a barn burner offensive shootout.
Jaguars at Buccaneers. I'm going with my Blake Bortles and the Jags again. That road victory.
All right, yeah, I'm going to agree. There's a game here at the end of the schedule, which I'm not going to tell you my pick, because if you take my pick, I'm just going to change it because I was 50-50 on it. But I agree with the Jaguars. The Buccaneers last game looked terrible, and I believe Norman, the corner from the Panthers, actually went to the NFL before the game and got his touchdown dance approved before he picked off Winston because he knew he was going to do it. Which that's basically the definition of embarrassing for Jameis Winston. So I agree. You know, the Jaguars have some players on defense. Jonathan Cyprian, you know, good, some solid players over there. And Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota have been on the completely different sides of the spectrum. Buccaneers are just a really bad team with good talent, kind of like the Dolphins. They have a lot of defensive players. You know, Mike Evans, they have Vincent Jackson. They have some good players over there, but they just can't get it done. So I agree with you with the Jaguars. We're both taking them. Next game, another 1-3 team versus another 1-3 team, which I think should actually be a pretty solid game. Which last week, by the way, too, because this relates to the team, was definitely not the week of the field goal kickers. You saw the Browns Chargers game. You saw the Saints Cowboys game where he missed a field goal to not send them into overtime. Obviously, the Saints won after that. And then you have the Jaguars game where they missed two kicks against the Colts. One was in the fourth quarter, and one was in overtime to win the game.
That was bad.
And they couldn't make the field goals. You have Nick Folk missing field goals. You know, the field goal kickers this year have been abysmal. So we'll see if it, you know, improves. We'll see what happens. But next game, Vinny, Saints at Eagles.
Saints at Eagles. That's a tough one. I'm going to go with...
That's what I try to do here.
Saints at Eagles. Eagles are home. Saints are pretty bad on the... You know what? I'm going with the Saints here on the road. I think last week they beat a decent Cowboys team with all those injuries, but I think Rob Ryan is going to dial it up and have Bradford on his feet. Like the Redskins just did last week. You know, Bradford's a statue back there. I think New Orleans goes in and beats Philadelphia.
Yeah, we're going to pick different here because the Eagles being 1-4, I understand that they had a lot of offseason changes and they've been pretty bad this year, but I think they're just too talented of a team to start out 1-4. I think they see their division with a 2-2 Giants team who had a very nice week and beat the Buffalo Bills, which is awesome, just capped off our Sunday. You have a Redskins team who's just bad, who the Jets should beat pretty handily, when they come off of the bye week. And then you have a Cowboys team who's missing their two best players on offense for the next couple of weeks. I believe that, Dez is going to be back in maybe 4 weeks, and then Romo is going to be back like 6 weeks or so. So they have an opportunity now to jump ahead and let's see if they can do that against the Saints. The Saints are a terrible road team over the last couple of years. They used to be a good home team too, but they kind of just fell off out of nowhere. The Saints versus the Cowboys. If you're watching that game, I think that C.J. Spiller pass at in overtime, the second play, was the longest pass he threw all game, and they actually broke it down on Sports Science where Drew Brees was not using his full throwing motion because he was clearly hurt. So I think the Eagles are too good of a team to beat with half a shoulder. So I think the Eagles come out and they win this game at home. Next game, which is actually probably probably the best game of the week here, Vinny. Seahawks, 2-2 Seahawks, who won in that crazy game yesterday where Calvin Johnson fumbled the ball because he was jumping, holding, securing the ball with the one arm. Cam Chancellor punched it out, 2 inches before the end zone. So that was crazy. And then you have this when KJ Wright ran up and smacked the ball out of the end zone, which then by the NFL was saying that that's an illegal thing. You can't do that. It should have been the Lions' ball at the half-yard line, even though I've seen kickers and punters kick the ball out plenty of times when it's about to be a safety. So I'm not too sure about what happens with that crazy game. But 2-2 mm-hmm. Seahawks at the 4-0 Bengals in the jungle.
I'm going to take the Bengals. The Bengals and go 5-0. I think they're only team. No, they're 4-0 right now. So I think at home, man, Andy Dalton's playing pretty good, actually. It's this is the sort of the Bengals are that they're going to win a division, lose that first round in the playoffs. That's the story of the Bengals, and until they prove me otherwise, I think the Bengals are going to be that team that's just going to win 11 games. But right now they're playing at an elite level. Right now, AJ Green's killing it, Mohamed Sanu's killing it. Then with Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard, those two guys are doing some work back there. Dalton's not turning the ball over. I think it's gonna be loud. Seattle is still playing; they're not the best on offense. I think right now you got to take Cincinnati at home.
I agree with you here that the Bengals are gonna win. I watched the game last night with the Seahawks, and they beat a really bad Lions team who's playing very, very poor football. Who's at 0-4 right now? They beat him, 10-13. Russell Wilson got pressured. He didn't look great. Nobody on the team really looked too great, at least the offensive side. The defensive side obviously looked good, and, they're probably the second-best defense in the NFL right now. My Jets are number one. They're going to be number one because Sheldon's coming back. I might be hopping up a little bit. Denver Seahawks are really close. I think it's like 1-2-3 with them. I don't know who's, the exact order. But I agree with you. Bengals at home. Andy Dalton has actually looked decent. Good. He's looked good. AJ Green is doing well. Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill, the two-headed running back, is doing very well for them. So I agree. Bengals 5-0, Seahawks 2-3. Next game, Vinny, Steelers at Chargers.
Steelers at Chargers. is a tough one. Steelers without Big Ben, Chargers just playing inconsistent football. I'm taking San Diego at home. I'm just because better quarterback. You know, they got a better.
Yep.
I mean, just you know, it's you know, Michael Vick. We know what Michael Vick can do. Hey, Michael Vick might be pretty wrong and go play have a Mike Vick game where he has 120 rushing yards. But right now, I'm taking Phillip Rivers and Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen's playing pretty damn good. He's playing pretty well right now. So I'm thinking, you know, at home, better quarterback, a banged up Steelers team with a subpar defense. I'm thinking Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, no. Again, I agree with you, Vinny. You watched the Steelers game last week. Vick comes out, makes like two good throws, and people are saying, oh, look what Mike Vick does with this team instead of the Jets. It's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And something else that I saw on Twitter, and sorry for the echo right now. It wasn't echoing almost the whole show. I almost got through a whole show without echoing or close to it. But last week there was a time where Fitzpatrick made a couple of inaccurate balls, or threw a couple of inaccurate balls, and people on Twitter were actually saying, if Fitzpatrick was a black quarterback, then they would have, you know, they would be all over him about his inaccuracies and how bad he is and things like that. So I can't even talk about that on air right now, because if I did, I'd probably get in trouble. So if you want to talk about that with me in person and just prove how much of an idiot you actually are, hit me up. We can do that. But like I said, I agree with you. Chargers, better quarterback. They played decently against the Browns last week, Vinny. Vic looked pretty bad, and that offense looked pretty bad. They had that missed field goal, too, actually 2-for-4 last week, where they actually decided not to kick a field goal, I believe, in overtime, and then towards the end of the game. And then the Ravens drove it down and scored, I believe it was a field goal, too. Yeah, it was a field goal by Tucker. So Chargers at home. We agree, you know, Jags at Bucks. You're taking the Saints. I'm taking the Eagles at home. Both taking the Bengals at home. I'm taking the Chargers, and you are taking the Chargers as well at home.
You could potentially take over first place.
I could no. If you clearly can't, you went to public school. Actually, no, you didn't go to public school. There's only one game difference. You could tie.
Okay. I thought we picked two different.
No, you're snorting something because we didn't. You're talking about lost ducks and crazy crap. I don't know what you're doing over there in college.
It's a bye week here.
Lay off the cocaine, Vinny, for the viewers' sake. But next week we got, you know, bye week. We don't have a game to talk about, but we're going to talk about more about Fitzpatrick. I want to talk a little bit about David Harris, too, and how important that signing was to the Jets this offseason. Even if we did overpay a little bit, he's playing up to that standard right now. Obviously, I'll talk about Sheldon, some other things that are going to happen. So we have a lot to talk about next week. Definitely appreciate everybody for listening. One more time for the Jets win this week in the bye week. All right, we're out. We appreciate everybody for listening. Next week, Tuesday, 8:00. We're going to talk about everything Jets football, prepare you guys for the beatdown of the Washington Redskins, talk about Sheldon Richardson, Fitzpatrick, some crazy things that Jets fans are undoubtedly going to say on Twitter this week. We appreciate everybody for listening, and we will see you next week at 8:00.
Peace.